We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The baseball game is over. It's time for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show with Tim Allen on The Fan.
It is a final. The game and the series, it ends with a Brewers victory, 6-5 the final. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Tim Allen enjoying this one as the Brewers get a bottom of the eighth inning, big-time two-out hit from Orlando Arcia. And the bullpen wins this baseball game, a bullpen day for the Milwaukee Brewers here in Game 4, this four-game set. And they take the game and the series, guys. And, you know, for those that had realistic goals, unlike me, I wanted the sweep really, really bad. But for those of you that had a little more realistic ideas about this four-game set, you guys are right. Take three or four against Pittsburgh and move forward. That's what they're doing. Trade deadline day today. Brewers make a trade earlier today. We'll get into that a little bit later on. David Phelps has been moved to the Philadelphia Phillies for three minor leaguers. But what a game tonight. And what a game for the back end of this bullpen in by name, Devin Williams and Josh Hader, striking out the final six men faced in order. Devin Williams, an inning and two-thirds, four K's in his performance today, and Josh Hader strikes out the side in that ninth inning. Huge win for the Milwaukee Brewers. With 26 to play, they find themselves at 16-18 in the 2020 championship season. I laugh because you guys always give me grief about saying that, but I'm going to stay with it with 26 to play here. And the Brewers out of the first 30 games of the season, the first half of the season, don't look now, but they're 3-1 since that started. So we'll take that. If that's any indication, maybe, you know, the hitters meeting the other day, maybe it did have an impact outside of yesterday. Maybe it did. And, you know, the Brewers find themselves right in the thick of a playoff chase. They just do, guys. And again, I find myself enjoying this more and more as the season rolls on. Now, you didn't enjoy a Bucks game earlier today. You heard Sparky talking about that. Not a good night for the Bucks against the Heat as they fall 115-104 in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. But the Brewers tried to pick you up a little bit in spirit with a 6-5 victory. Looked good for a while. Didn't look good for a while. Looked good for a while, not too bad for a while. Then it looked good for a while again, and then no, now we're tied, and you get a leadoff double, you get men on base, and you continually put traffic on the base pass, good things are going to happen. And I think Craig Counsell is going to say that. Put runners aboard, and finally someone's going to come through. Now, there was some fundamental baseball that wasn't to my liking a little bit in this one. You had opportunities to move runners over. And you didn't. You're hitting the ball to the left side of the diamond. You're hitting the ball to the left side in the air. You don't get a tag a little bit. So those things I could pick apart, and maybe I will. It's possible that I will. Ben Gamel with a big night tonight as well. We're going to hear from manager Craig Counsell coming up in just a little while. Every game that goes by, and here we are. Now we're going to be into September. Into September, starting tomorrow's game. And it's a two-game set against the Detroit Tigers. I don't know what kind of realistic expectations are to be in a two-game set. I mean, is it then okay to ask for a sweep? I wanted a sweep in this four-gamer against the Pirates. They damn near got it. I don't know what it is against the Tigers. A realistic goal would be to, I guess, win tomorrow and then go on from there, I suppose. But they find themselves playing day by day. And that's where you have to look at this thing. Get a win, just move on. Get a situation into your favor and move on. That's what the Brewers are doing here. Let's go back to our game recap. You want to react on this or the Bucks loss tonight? We could conversate about that as well. In the first inning, both teams go three up, three down. Make it three up, three down for the Pirates in the second inning off Brent Suter. Brewers getting to it in the second inning. A leadoff walk to Justin Smoke. Ben Gamble with a base hit. I told you he had a good night, and we'll continue talking about that beyond this recap. Jed Jerko with a base hit loads the bases with nobody out. And raise your hand, Brewers fans, raise your hand if you immediately think of doom and gloom. Got a couple of texts at that time. Bases juiced, nobody out. Let's hear how this story ends tonight, shall we? And here's what happened.
2-2, the count to Eric Sogard. And there's a liner that is bobbled and thrown away. And a run will score. Two runs will score. As the Brewers push it across the first two runs of the night, Kevin Newman got eaten up a bit.
Now, it didn't look like that was going to be the case. A strike prior to that, a strikeout to Narvaez, then a ground ball by Jace Peterson. They forced the runner at the plate. But that play right there gave the Brewers a 2-0 lead. And I was this close to calling it the Great Lakes Dragway turning point. But that infield single by Sogard and an error, a little bit of a gift there, but the Brewers will take it up 2-0 into the third. It didn't take long for Pittsburgh to tie it up. Need the shutdown inning. Come on now. Come on, kid. After two out, a walk and a two-run shot. 2-2 as they immediately tie back up into the bottom of the third. Brewers going back to work. Yelich, a leadoff base hit. Keston Hira then hit by a pitch. I wonder about that right there. Trevor Williams and Keston Hira have a little history. And getting drilled in the back like that, I don't know. I, conspiracy theorist as I am, I wonder about that one. Two on, nobody out. Raise your hand, Brewers fans, if you just think doom and gloom right there. Then a 10-pitch at-bat by Justin Smoke, and that didn't end well. Grounds into a double play. Man, how about this, though? I told you Ben Gamble had a night. He was 1-for-1, and he steps up with a runner in scoring position and two men out here in this third inning.
We got a pretty good clip now over these last nine-plus games, and that will continue with an RBI single to center. That'll get Yelich in, and the Brewers regain the lead.
Yeah, what a nice approach right there. Two-out base hit to score a run. Outstanding work. All three of the Brewers' runs have come with two outs. Game one of this series. Did a lot of damage with two outs. Slider. And Gamble able to go down and get it. Line drive right back into center field. Good piece of hitting.
Yeah, Ben Gamble at that point, 2-for-2 with an RBI. A nice two-out base hit to give the Brewers a 3-2 lead into the fourth inning. Drew Rasmussen. I'll tell you, Drew Rasmussen, the one thing I think in analyzing his brief career, and let's face it, it is obviously brief, gas in 99, I think he should be more challenging with these hitters. And maybe that's the final thing. He's probably leaning on Narvaez a little bit there, but I think he messed up. That inning, his first inning of work, I had no problem with. Somewhat aggressive. Pitches a scoreless fourth inning. His second inning, I'll tell you, just not a big fan of how they approach that second inning of work for Rasmussen, I should say. But nonetheless, he gets through the fourth inning, and Rasmus in a scoreless fourth, as I said. It was just a little bout of wildness in that second part of that inning. Bottom half, Brewers back at it. Narvaez, a leadoff double, and then a walk to Jace Peterson after a deep fly out by Eric Sogard. Again, first and second, nobody out, and you can't, you don't want to, Craig, you don't want to move the runners over there. Bunt that ball right at the third baseman, and you got yourself runners moving over. Not only that didn't happen, but it was a fly ball fairly deep, not to the right side of the diamond, not to the right side of the field. It was the left center field by Eric Sogard. And I'm not just, and again, a pretty deep fly ball. I mean, that thing was pretty deep. Narvaez, with any sort of speed, probably should have ended up on third base there. That was one out. Urias then, with what looked to be a double play ground ball after the first out, at second base. But the Brewers get another gift here.
One of your loyal viewers is Baran, second for one, and the turn is thrown away, and coming home will be Narvaez with the fourth run of the night for the Brewers. And two of those runs tonight coming on errors.
4-2 into the fifth inning. All the highlights, by the way, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Rasmussen in there for the sting of work after two outs, a double, and a base hit. Why in the world in that second inning is he messing around with all the soft stuff? I don't understand who's calling those pitches. The dude has electric stuff. Challenge these guys. Go right at them. Doesn't do that. He's just why? I'm not quite sure. Pirates within one at 4-3. Bottom of that fifth inning, Keston Hira gets run back.
Nice couple nights. Here's Keston Hira sending one in the air, center field. Hit it well. It is gone. A home run. Keston Hira, center field. Eighth homer of the year, and the Brewers lead 5-3.
He likes the Pirates, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And he also likes Trevor Williams. That's his third career homer. Four for seven with three homers.
Wow, that's big time from Keston Hira. Brewers up 5-3 into the sixth inning. And Freddie Peralta summoned from the pen for the top of the sixth inning. Peralta in some trouble after one out. A walk, then a double to put runners at second and third. Huge strikeout to Polanco right there, and a chance to get out of it. But the number eight hitter on a 1-1 pitch just hung a curveball right there. Jose Ozuna ties the game with a two-run, two-out base hit backbreaker right there in the sixth inning. Pittsburgh, after tying it, well, they get the shutdown inning they needed there in the bottom of the sixth. 5-5 into the seventh inning. And Freddie Peralta back out there to start the seventh inning, gets the first out. Then he walks a man, and Council goes to the pen to Devin Williams. Strikeout for the second out. Then he walks a man, Josh Bell. Two on, two out, gets Colin Moran to ground out. I think right there, that I'm going to call, maybe there's a bigger turning point. Check that with Great Lakes Dragway. Brewers 1-2-3 in the seventh inning. Seems like the offense has disappeared for a little bit. Tied 5 into the 8th. Devin Williams coming back in. Hammer, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Strikes out the side in order. Devin Williams is having an amazing season, guys. He really is. 5-5 into the bottom of the 8th inning. Brewers in business. Bottom of the 8th inning. Leadoff double by Ben Gamel. 3-for-3 with a walk and an RBI. And I'll tell you, there's one other guy that would be worthy of the Chevy MVP. If it weren't for the one that got the game-winning hit, it would be Ben Gamel. Just a second here on that. Jed Jerko can't move him over with a man on second base. Essentially at that time, tied at 5, bottom of the 8th inning. You're essentially in extra inning kind of rule, aren't you? A man at second with nobody out, and then you get a shutdown inning, win the game. So Ben Gamble's out there at second. Jed Jerko, really no business swinging at an inside pitch. And then he grounds out to third. Look the runner back, throw to first. not sure why we don't believe in any sort of small ball at all with you know, in theory, most all of these games are really a season on the line sort of thing. You can make that argument. But there's one out now. Gamble remains at second base. Mark Mathias then the pinch hit for Narvaez. And it's tough to move a runner over or to get a runner in when you're grounding out to the third baseman as well. Avisail Garcia, the pinch hit for Jace Peterson right there. Second consecutive pinch hitter for Craig Counsell. Turley, 4-for-4. Lifetime against Turley is Avisail Garcia. Well, Derek Shelton says, I'm going to walk him. He just stung us for a two-run double in the eighth inning on Saturday night, so we're just going to put him on. They do that. First and second, two out. Nottingham to pinch run for Garcia. Arcia to pinch hit for Eric Sogard. All the chess pieces being moved scattered all over the floor here. Then Shelton pulls Turley for Stratton to face Arcia. And how about Orlando Arcia?
The 2-2 on the ground and throw into left field, a base hit. Here comes Gamble. Here's a throw to the plate. It's cut off as the Brewers take the lead. Orlando Arcia, a run scoring single.
Yep, got the slider that he got the other night. This time a single into left.
Yeah, there you go. As the Brewers get the 6-5. Lead right there in the eighth, and then you go to Josh Hader. And Josh Hader comes in. You know what happened the other night, obviously. Saturday night, five walks in that performance, a blown save, the whole 9 yards. What's he going to do the next time? How about just striking out the side for a Brewers victory? That's what you do. And save number, what would that be? Austin, Texas is with us tonight. Is that 8 or 9? You know, you lose count.
That is 8 tonight.
And that's number 8. Save number 8 for Josh Hader and a Brewers victory. 6-5 the final. 16-18, their record now, with just 26 games remaining here in the 2020 campaign. 414-799-1250. Also, that David Phelps move. Just wanted to ask you guys, did it seem like a white flag move for you, or did it seem like the right move to do? Because you did acquire three young pitchers, 19, 19, and 20 years of age. Now, again, one of them's a 30-rounder. All decent numbers in their respective leagues last year. There's a Gulf Coast League, a Dominican Fall League, and rookie level in the bigs. But was that the right move to do? David Stern said he was within minutes from acquiring a bat. we talked yesterday about the trade deadline, and I was a little surprised they made the move, but as I said yesterday, if anything, probably David Phelps is going to be moved at the deadline, and it happened. It was Phelps to be moved. So there you go. There's your final 6-5 as the Brewers get the victory. We'll hear from Craig Counsell coming up and Ben Gamble. By the way, Orlando Arcia, your Chevy MVP, didn't even start the game. One at bat, and it was the game winner in the bottom of the eighth inning with two outs. Chevy MVP brought to you by Chevy. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Again, Brewers get the victory. They take the series 3-1 and stay right in the thick of this. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to dive into the box score for today's game on The Fan. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power. On the web at liuna113.org.
Big win for the crew. They're all big at this point when you're right in the thick of things, trying to hit the postseason again. 26 games remain. Final month of the season as we flip the calendar to September tomorrow. And just as a reminder, as if you didn't know, Milwaukee Bucks lost game one of the Eastern Conference semis, 115-104. And that's not good. So, I mean, Brewers picked it up a little bit. More conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow morning with Bart Winkler and Bill Michaels and, of course, the Wendy's Big Show. So we've got that for you. But the Brewers, they get a victory here. 26 games remaining. With the trade today, guys, David Phelps gone for three minor leaguers. I'm just wondering if that's a sign to you that, you know, they weren't going to add. They were only going to subtract. I don't know if that replenishes the farm system at all, and in a sense it doesn't. But if you look at the Adam Lind deal from years ago, remember the first baseman Adam Lind? When they traded him, they received three pitchers, very similar to this deal. Pitchers, a couple of them in their teens. There's young pitchers, and Freddie Peralta was in that return for Adam Lind. So I think this would be the parallel to that. David Phelps, you know, these bullpen, and I love David Phelps, don't get me wrong. But these guys, they're journeyman guys that are going to bounce around. You find the right combination in a bullpen, and, you know, you've got something cooking there. And the Brewers did this year. Certainly, Devin Williams was just amazing. Along with David Phelps, 2.7 ERA, and Josh Hader. It's pretty dynamic sort of outgetters, if you will, in the back end of that bullpen. But, you know, David Phelps, they just thought that, you know, they can get by without him. And, you know, at some point, someone's going to blow a lead in that seventh, eighth inning range. And we're going to say, well, David Phelps would have taken care of that. We'll see. But we will also see, and it will take a few years to see if this trade was even worthy of making. And again, as I said, Freddie Peralta, very similar deal, came out of that Adam Lind deal with three young arms. Let's check out the box, going inside the box, as the Brewers get a 6-5 victory. Luis Urias, fourth consecutive game that he has been in that leadoff spot. Didn't work out real well today. 0 for 5, three strikeouts. Christian Yelich, 1 for 4 with a run scored. And two strikeouts, although I will say Christian Yelich was hammering baseballs tonight. That's a great sign. Keston Hira tonight, 1 for 3 with a run scored and an RBI. Justin Smoke goes 0 for 3 with a walk. Ben Gamel, 3 for 3, two runs scored, one RBI and a walk. Jed Jerko, 1 for 4 with a run scored and a couple of Ks. Omar Narvaez, 1 for 3, a run scored and a pair of strikeouts himself. Jace Peterson, 0 for 1. He drew a pair of walks as well. One thing I'm getting to notice about Jace Peterson is that dude looks like he's got a good eye at the plate. It does. You know, drew a big walk, obviously, on Saturday night. But you know, you look at his ABs here. Just a battler in there. I don't know much about Jace Peterson. I don't know if anyone does in these parts, but it does look like he's got a pretty decent eye. Eric Sogard in this game, 1 for 3 with an RBI. Mark Mathias, pinch hit appearance, goes 0 for 1. Avasil Garcia comes in, and he was intentionally walked in his lone at bat. And Orlando Arcia, 1 for 1, one big RBI. Pitching lines on a bullpen day. Here we go. Brent Suter, three innings, allows one hit, a couple of runs, both earned, a walk and three strikeouts. Drew Rasmussen, two innings, two hits, one earned run, a couple of walks and two strikeouts. Freddie Peralta, 1 1/3, two hits, two runs, both earned, a walk and three strikeouts. Here's where it gets good. Devin Williams, an inning and 2/3, no hits, no runs, no walks, four strikeouts. Josh Hader, one inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, and three strikeouts. In fact, the combo of Devin Williams and Josh Hader struck out the final six men up for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brewers get six runs on nine hits, no errors. The Pirates, five runs on just five hits and a couple of errors. The win goes to Devin Williams, 3-1 with a .64 earned run average. Turley, the loss, 0-1, and Josh Hader was save number 8 on the campaign. Brewers 16-18, and trying to stay in the thick of this. But that David Phelps deal, I'm, you know, I got a few texts and a little messing around on social media today. I think a lot of people were thinking David Stearns was waving the white flag on this deal. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell, his comments on the trade. And I didn't necessarily look at it that way. I just thought you seized the moment with the Phelps deal. And I don't know if David Phelps was going to net you anything more than what it got you. And that is three young, young arms. We won't know about this trade 3 years before we start really getting a closer look at who might be bubbling up out of that trio of arms. All right-handers. We'll go over just exactly who those guys are. But the Brewers get the victory tonight, 6-5, the final. Craig Counsell coming up next as Orlando Arcia comes up with a huge hit. That is certainly the turning point in this ball game. Eighth inning with Great Lakes Dragway, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. GreatLakesDragway.com for track rental and event information. Lando unties it in the bottom of the eighth. Josh Hader locks it in. There's your Brewers victory. We'll be back. As the Brewers beat the Pirates, they take the series 3-1. Counsell is next here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on The Fan.
6-5 final, and every win is a good one at this point. 26 remain here as the calendar flips to September tomorrow. And you may think that, well, it's a bunch of mishmash put together sort of lineup here. Well, no Ryan Braun, a little back tightness again. I shouldn't be like that, but boy, it sure would be nice to have Ryan Braun in this lineup on a regular basis. Avisail Garcia not in the game as well. Still a little with that ankle. They do, however, prevail in this one. Spark of the game with Current Electric. Call your electrician superhero at callcurrent.com. And it was Orlando Arcia, the third consecutive pinch hitter for Craig Counsell's crew in the bottom of that eighth inning.
The 2-2. On the ground and throw into left field, a base hit. Here comes Gamble. Here's a throw to the plate. It's cut off as the Brewers take the lead. Orlando Arcia, a run scoring single.
Yep, got the slider that he got the other night. This time a single into left.
Yeah, with two outs, and that's the game winner right there, sparked up a Brewers victory tonight. Little victory spark on that one. Brewers, don't look now, guys. They've won 5 of their last 8 games, 5-3 in their last 8. And that's, you're just going to have to start building on that. And at this point, yeah, you like to scoreboard watch, and I do too, but with the offensive issues that the Brewers have had, I think it's probably best to just, you know, get some runs on the board. The pitching, again, I believe has done a decent job overall, especially, obviously, the back end of that bullpen. And speaking of which, trade deadline earlier this afternoon, David Phelps was moved. Before we get to Craig Counsell's post-game presser, this is what he had to say about the Phelps trade prior to the game.
You know, we obviously, David's been a valuable piece of this team. But David Stearns found a deal that he thought that he couldn't pass up. And so that he felt like was important for the franchise to make. I don't think it says anything about the future of the team. We got to go out and win a baseball game today. That's how we're going to treat it. That's how the guys in there are going to treat it. You lose. I you don't want to say that, but you lose players at times. Guys get hurt. Guys get traded. And there's, that doesn't, stop you from trying to win the baseball game that day. We're sitting a game out of the playoffs right now. We know we have to play better to get there, but we're not in a bad position at all. And so we feel like it's in front of us. And with a good month of baseball, with a good 28 games, that we can put ourselves in a real good position.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And you take it day by day, one game at a time, and they get this one. They take 3 of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And as I said to open the show, those of you that had realistic expectations of taking 3 of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, you got what you wanted. Me, a little disappointed that they didn't sweep, but I'll take the 3 of 4. They've won 5 of their last 8 and moving just a little bit in the right direction. I mean, we're going to have to take away the style points here for the Brewers 2020 roster. I mean, let's take that off the table. Who cares? Who cares how it looks? Who cares if Christian Yelich is going for a third consecutive batting title at this point? I mean, coming into this year, of course, you know, the expectations were in a 162 to hit the postseason pay window again. But at this point, I don't really look at the style points at all. They're just going to have to try and win a game any way possible. Doesn't matter. And the Pirates gave him a couple of gifts here. And as Craig Counsell said about a week ago, there's luck in every single baseball game a little bit. And I hadn't really looked at it that way. But the more you do think about that, there is a tremendous amount of luck. I mean, what if, you leak a slider up and out over the plate, and the guy hammers it, but it just doesn't get high enough, and it's a line out, and someone makes a diving grab on the track. I mean, that's, hey, we'll take that luck. You can see some of that stuff in just about every game. We're going to hear from Brent Suter. It was a bullpen game today. Hey, Suter didn't do bad. 3 innings, just a couple of runs. He did chew up the 3 innings, and that was important. Drew Rasmussen, and I'm sure you're going to hear Craig Counsell talk about that. I would like to see Rasmussen go after these guys a little bit more. And I thought, I don't know if that was Narvaez, I don't know if that was Drew shaking him off or not, but, you know, I think when you have electric stuff like that, make that a strength for you, and if they hit your strength, okay, then go into the slider and the change a little bit. But, he did pitch a couple of innings, allowed a couple of walks in the first inning, and gave up a run in 2 innings of work, but he's maturing as well. Let's hear from manager Craig Counsell. Big win for the crew, 6-5.
Craig, how did you like the way the bullpen pieced together? It looked like everybody gave you probably, what you needed, and the last two guys were pretty sensational.
Yeah, I mean, the game really went pretty close to how we had scripted it before the game. The Pirates did a nice job getting some 2-out hits. So they obviously was, our guys were kind of 1 out away from really all having sensational outings, and some 2-out hits got them. But Brett giving us 3 was key. And if we got through 5 with Drew and Brent, I was pretty confident that, we had a good end of the game to formula to put out there. So credit to those guys for getting the job done. They all did a little bit extra tonight. It's cool.
Craig, how important was it for Josh just to get out there and throw a bunch of strikes?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't have much concern. I think Josh is going to have a bad night. That's all right. That's how it works. He had a bad night, and he's a great pitcher, and that's what they do. They come back out the next time and get it done.
Craig, it looked like you had him ready to come in, even if you didn't score, but Arcia sure made it all just fall perfect for you, because now you don't have to use him more than one inning.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. Ben's double leading off the inning, I thought, really, kind of set up the inning and forced some action with what was going on for them too. It's a 2-strike hit, man. It's a slider, and Orlando hung on it. And it's, I think it, it, he's done that a bunch this year where he's, you know, he laid off a pretty good 1-2 pitch, the slider in the dirt, but that was an executed pitch by Stratton. He threw the pitch exactly where he wanted to try to get him to chase and then got one in the zone.
Craig, at this point, the scouting report has to be pretty complete on Devin Williams. The guys go up there, they're looking change up, and he just keeps throwing it, and they just keep taking funky swings. Is it sort of fun to watch a player execute that one skill the way he's doing it?
It's exactly what he's doing. There's a good fastball in there, too, that just makes the hitter, they know they can't necessarily cover both, but – I think he's throwing it enough now where they're having a hard time, even if they're sitting on it. And that's why the pitch is so good. It has special movement to it. You saw a couple right-handers felt like they might have been sitting on it, but they pulled it foul because it just kind of chases them inside. So he's been fabulous. I mean, it's hard to put in, he's been just really, really good. We saw it tonight. But he's doing a heck of a job.
Craig, back to Orlando for a second. There's been so much focus on the offense struggling, but he's been pretty daggone consistent, hasn't he? And that at bat shows some maturity that he might not have had, you know, earlier in his career, especially coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think Orlando's definitely taken a step forward offensively this year. And I think there's it's cost him at this point maybe a little bit of driving the baseball, but the driving the baseball is coming for him. I really think that because this is the approach that's going to work for him. And this is a solid foundation. His walks are up, his strikeouts are down. That's the thing that tells you that a hitter is making progress. And so I really think that Orlando's taken a step forward this year, and it hasn't come out yet in like big offensive numbers, but I think we all see just the ball strike has changed, and he's a better hitter for it, and he has power. And so the power will come as he just trusts himself with certain counts and certain pitches.
So that was a pretty huge hit and error on that play with Sogi because your bases loaded, no outs, was almost away from you.
Yeah, we caught a couple of breaks with some errors on their side tonight that we got some runs on that were important, but that was we bases loaded, nobody out. It felt like a little bit like Braun's at bat on Friday night where, you know, we had second and third, nobody out, and didn't get anything, or maybe that was first and second, but didn't have anything to show for it, tonight we got a break, and tonight we got a big hit, but very important for sure.
Obviously, winning series, can't be much huger than it is this year, only playing 60 games, and it's amazing what a difference 3 out of 4 makes it versus 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just win games here. This is a different season. This is a different playoffs. You got to keep up and put yourself in spot, where we're playing some games in the last week of the season where who knows what can happen. And that's our goal. Just keep racking up some wins and get yourselves to the it's going to be a crazy last week of the season. I think we can tell that the National League, the way it's sitting right now. So we just got to keep fighting. We've fought over some couple games this weekend that were, not everything went perfect, but we fought off some wins. That's the way we got to do it. That's the way we'll do it.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time for the Gene Wagner Plumbing Are You Kidding Me moment of the game on The Fan. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. It really was the bottom of the eighth inning as a whole, guys. And we all know the outcome. Orlando Arcia with the go-ahead two-out RBI base hit to give the Brewers 6-5 lead and then the ultimate win. But I love what Council just said right there, by the way. If that's the way we got to do it, that's the way we got to do it. You got to win a baseball game. This is what I was talking about just a couple of minutes ago. Doesn't matter the way it looks anymore. I mean, because it's already the tainted season, right? We get that. Understand that. This is clearly, those of you that have listened for a long time here after the ball game for, 15 years now, you know I love the cat and mouse game of baseball, and that's one of the things that I truly love about it, is that it's the strategy and it's the back and forth, and quite commonly refer to the chess pieces moving around. They were dancing tonight. And I'll explain. Bottom of the eighth inning. Leadoff double by Ben Gamel. That sets the stage. Jed Jerko doesn't move him over. Again, this is a little bit of the strategy, nerdy part of me talking. But this is, again, part of the reason I love the game. You don't get the runner over right there. Mark Mathias, the first of three consecutive pinch hitters. Now we're moving chess pieces all over the place. He grounds out. He was pinch hitting, by the way, for Narvaez. He grounds out to the left side of the diamond as well. There's that runner at second base. Now they're with two outs. You're going to need a knock here, and even that doesn't guarantee it if there's a play at the plate. And what do we do now? We go to the third consecutive pinch hitter, and that's Avisail Garcia, who absolutely owns Turley, 4-for-4 in his career against him. He's pinch hitting for Jace Peterson. And again, the latest of the 4-for-4 was on Saturday night in the bottom of the eighth inning, a two-run go-ahead double, Garcia against Turley. So, I mean, what are we going to do next here? So you got to play this out. So Derek Shelton, then the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, he then has a recourse. They intentionally walk Garcia. I don't like that matchup right there. Okay, Nottingham in because Narvaez is already out of the game, so you might as well pinch run Nottingham. He's got to enter the game anyway for Garcia, who is limping around on an ankle. Arcia then to pinch hit for Eric Sogard, who walked off on Saturday. Doesn't matter. I like the matchup. Okay, Derek Shelton says, I don't like that matchup. Out goes Turley, and Stratton comes in to face Arcia. And after all those moves, Orlando Arcia comes through with that big two-out RBI base hit. That gives the Brewers the 6-5 lead and the eventual win in this one. Man, that's one of the reasons. Are you kidding me? With Gene Wagner Plumbing, why I love this game of baseball. It truly is something remarkable when you look at all those moves. Coordinated moves, too. This isn't a wing job. That's the thing. See, I'd get lost in all this. I would. I'd forget what move I made. I'd have a illegal lineup card at times. That's why Craig Council is doing what he's doing, and I'm doing what I'm doing. All right, we'll take a break. Come back here from Brent Suter. They did what they had to do, a bullpen day for the team, and they get the victory because of it. It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Brewers win 6-5. Tim Allen, Austin, Texas is here. We'll be back on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. It's time to go inside the clubhouse to hear what the players are saying after today's game on The Fan. It's brought to you by Window Select. Right now, buy one and get one free. Plus, no payments until 2021. Call Window Select today at 262-703-3500.
6-5 final, and the Brewers take the series 3-1, and it is a huge difference. 2-2, yeah, you're like, yeah, it's okay. But, you know, that's a big win, guys. They had a 4-2 lead. That went away. They had a 5-3 lead. That went away, and you know, things got a little dicey there for a second, to use a euchreism, but the Brewers prevail 6-5 the final, 16-18, and they're 5-3 in their last eight games. We'll take that. as they open up a two-game set. Before that, Brent Suter. Let's hear from Brent Suter. We're also going to hear from David Stearns and a little bit more maybe on one of the pitchers that he did acquire in the David Phelps deal today. But we'll go back inside the clubhouse with Window Select and hear from today's starter, Brent Suter.
Brent, was it like riding a bike starting off the game?
It was cool. It was kind of a nostalgic moment. I hadn't started since having surgery. So it was, you know, some cool memories kind of getting back. But in terms of the preparation, I was doing it like a reliever. So I kind of just threw with the relievers, ran with the relievers, did everything. And then like 10, 12 minutes before game time, just started getting hot quick like I was a reliever. So a little different preparation-wise, but cool to start off the game again.
Hey, Brent, what is that you guys have been hitting in the bullpen, and like, how did that get started?
So it's a combination of things. We got a bat hitting one of those chairs, like metal chairs. And then we have some mallet that is used to break in gloves, and we're hitting it against the dummy out there. And then some guys are using their feet to hit the garbage can, and other guys are slapping the pads and all that. So we got a little bullpen band out there. It's pretty fun, but we talked about it a couple of days ago before stretch, and we just said, hey, listen, our energies, you know, could be better, so let's turn it up a little bit, and it can start out here in the bullpen. We can, you know, bring some energy, bring some noise to the guys, and I mean, it seems to be working somewhat. It was I think it was Friday, and we scored like 9 runs, so we're like, we got to keep doing it. Bullpen band in session, here we go.
Brent, we've heard many players talk about that this has been hard.
Energy doesn't to get make the energy. To replace you tonight.
Sorry, I was just saying, like, the guys have talked about how the energy has been a big challenge. Has it been more of a challenge than you think you expected coming in to kind of create that?
I think it has, but really the last couple of days have shown us that like just a little bit goes a long way in terms of self-generation, like getting the energy going ourselves. A lot or a little can go a long way, so I think it's something we're going to keep doing. We've seen some other teams generate their own energy really well. So we wanted to kind of turn it up a notch and get to that point where we're motivating each other and really giving energy to each other.
Brent, just with your appearances, how comfortable are you with getting stretched out? I think you were at 50 pitches tonight, and you were right around that in some of your previous appearances. Do you feel like you're in a place where you could go deeper, or is that about kind of where you are right now?
So I think like if I were to be on a rotation, I could go deeper next time. I will admit there was a little bit of just like, I was trying to get that second win going in the third inning, and I, a couple batters I want back where I was just trying to find it. And I kept, you know, coming out of the delivery, missing, you know, non-competitive pitches, which I want back, but, and obviously the home run, which I just over adjusted and then got it right into a sweet spot. So, some pitches I want back, but it wasn't for lack of effort. It was just for, you know, a little bit of, you know, just getting a little tired and coming out of my delivery a little bit, but certainly I think next time I could go 4 or 5 if they needed me to, but I think I'll probably just be back in the pen doing more of the 2 or 3 inning role now.
Brent, it was kind of ironic. Brent, it was kind of ironic that on a day that Phelps was traded, you had a bullpen game, you know. You were missing one of the big pieces, but looks like you guys have enough coverage out there, huh?
Yeah, guys stepped up. Devin stepping up in the 7th and 8th was great. And Josh getting right back on the horse and throwing a great 9th inning was awesome. Yeah, we're definitely going to miss David. He was an awesome presence for us, both on and off the field. Certainly me as a union rep, you know, he was great shoulder to lean on the whole quarantine, and really got a great friendship with him going. So really appreciate everything he did for us and wish him all the best in Philly.
Yeah, I agree with that too. David Phelps, the one interview I had with him, just a dynamite guy. Super, super cool. He was traded today for 3 minor leaguers. I want to get you this from David Stearns, however. Justin Topa was called up today along with Trey Supach. Supach, a former second-round selection by the Pirates, so he's been in the system here. Brewers acquired him a couple of years ago, but in this Justin Topa, David Stearns had a comment on that earlier today about, you know, this journey that this dude has been on. Check this out.
Yeah, this is a fun one for the organization, and a tremendous credit goes out to our domestic scouting staff. Most notably Brian Gale, who really leads our acquisition efforts in this space, in the indie ball space and in the pro league space. And this is someone who was drafted, I think, all the way back in 2013 by the Pirates, began making his way through the Pirate system, ultimately was released, latched on in indie ball, then with Texas, then indie ball again. And our network and our scouts did a tremendous job tracking him and felt like there was more in the tank. There was more there. And then Justin just took off. And that's really been true since we signed him. He's an incredible worker. He did a great job this past offseason. And then between when we shut down in March to when we showed back up again in Appleton, he did a great job working through his goals, sticking to a development path plan. And it's a really exciting arm. He throws the ball really hard. He's developed a very nice slider, and he deserves to be here. This is a big league caliber pitcher who has worked very hard to get here.
There he is, David Stearns on Justin Topa, 29 years old. And keep that in mind. But quite the journey to get back to the big leagues here, and he's here with the Milwaukee Brewers. I would just say this, that Supak and Topa are going to have to, they're going to have to get some big outs. And I don't know if you can have a couple of guys on your team that are just mop-up duty. I mean, you're eventually, without David Phelps, you're going to eventually have to go with a Drew Rasmussen, possibly Supak or Topa, in a situation where the game's on the line. And so just buckle in, because you never know at that point. So they trade David Phelps for the following players, just to give you a couple of pieces of information here. One of the pitchers, Brandon Ramey, just turned 20 today. He was a 30th round pick of the Phillies back in 2018. Right-handed pitcher, 2.78 ERA at rookie level in 7 starts last year. Not a huge guy, but a little bit size to him, 6 foot, about 180 pounds. Then you get Israel Puello. He's a 19-year-old. He's a big dude, 6'3", 200-pound right-hander, 192 in ERA in 15 starts in the Dominican Fall League. So the numbers look good for Puello. Another 19-year-old acquired, Dominican player, 6 foot, 175. Not the biggest of stature, again, but Juan Geraldo, Gulf Coast League, 3.96 ERA in 12 appearances, 2 of those starts. So there's your pitchers acquired. And I will say that it's somewhat reminiscent of that Adam Lind deal. And we'll see if, one out of three, if that's their goal, they got three chances at hitting. And they did with the Adam Lind deal. And Freddie Peralta, guy who pitched in today's game, did come to fruition fairly young. But it's going to take a couple of years to see if this David Phelps 2020 trade at the trade deadline is going to work out. It's a little bit disappointing to see Phelps leave in this regard, that you didn't get the full 162. You didn't get the team option in year number 2 for David Phelps, just in case he did have a good year. You could retain his rights for, I believe it was $4.5 million. Because that's the way Craig Counsell handles the pen with guys like David Phelps. And so that to me is the disappointing part. They're going to have to make do without him, as I said. All right, we'll get some news around Major League Baseball and find out who played and didn't play in the National League Central as the Brewers take this one. Game 4, the final game of this 4-game set, goes 6-5 Brewers. They take 3 of 4. They're 5-3 in their last 8. and we'll see if they gained ground or lost ground. See who's playing National League Central scoreboard. That's next. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show right here on The Fan.
It's the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, and it's time to check the Major League scoreboard on The Fan.
Well, we know this one inside the Central. Brewers take care of the Pirates 6-5 in the fourth and final game of the series in the 10-game homestand. Doing pretty well thus far. A couple of games to go against the Tigers. We'll get to that preview in just a second. But 5-3 are the Brewers. Four games against the Reds, four against the Pirates, and you're 5-3. Would have liked just one more of those victories. Just one more. Had you been able to take three or four against the Reds, and I think that off day on Wednesday kind of hurt a little momentum you had with victories against the Reds on last Monday and Tuesday nights, but not bad all told, and they'll go back at it tomorrow. Austin, Texas is here. Trade deadline has come and gone. David Phelps moved for the Brewers, as we just discussed, for three minor leaguers. Understand the Reds made a couple of moves. Archie Bradley in, Brian Goodwin in, and the Chicago Cubs. This not shocking. They needed some bullpen support, and they went out and got a couple of left-handers. So Christian Yelich, dude, get ready. You're not going to get many at-bats against right-handers against Chicago here. So be prepared to go lefty-lefty. Start looking the other way when you do finally face the Chicago Cubs. All right, let's check the scoreboard. What do you have, Austin?
All right, there was just one other game in action tonight in the Central as the Cubs had the night off. The Cardinals were in Cincinnati to take on the Reds. The Cardinals would go on for the victory, 7-5. Paul DeJong hit his first career grand slam tonight. Dakota Hudson got his first win of the season with that win tonight as well. So an updated NL Central standings, the Cubs still in first place at 20-14. The St. Louis Cardinals, now 13-13, sit three games back of the Cubs. The Brewers in third place all by themselves at 16-18, four games back.
Four flat, yeah.
Yep. And then the Reds now 15-20. They are 5.5 games back. And the Pittsburgh Pirates keep falling lower and lower. They are 10-22, nine games back for first place.
Four games back with 26 to play. You've got a ton of games against the Cardinals. So, I you know, they're just a game back of the Cardinals or whatever. I mean, you can take care of that. Your destination pretty much is in your own hands here with 26 to play. The Brewers, let's keep in mind, last couple of years, they finished 20-7. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that again. But, hey, in the last 27 games, they're 1-0 so far. If you're going to count them all down, wouldn't that be something? I mean, it's like Chris Davis hitting .247 for 4 years or whatever it was. Go 20-7 to finish the season for three consecutive years. I don't think a team has ever done that. A bigger name, San Diego means business, don't they? Clevinger goes to the Padres. That's another biggie. I tell you. If you think that a lot of these teams are sort of throwing away this season, don't buy that. They still want a pennant. They still want a ring. Now, is anyone going to beat the Dodgers? Oh, we'll see. It's still a baseball game each night of the playoffs, right? That's the way it works. All right, tomorrow's matchup will feature Josh Lindblom on the hill. Now, he's going to have to do something about a 6.3 earned run average. I mean, that's going to have to change. And Michael Fulmer will take the hill for the Detroit Tigers. It's a two-game set at Miller Park before the off day on Thursday. Have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show. Get you ready to go for game one of the two-game set at 6 o'clock. And after the last pitch, you make the switch right here, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Again, Lindblom. Now, just something to think about here. If Suter pitched today, Lindblom pitches tomorrow. I just wonder if the stretching out of Suter might be in an effort to possibly replace Lindblom. The investment is there for Josh Lindblom. We know that. It's a three-year deal coming back here from the KBO. But, hey, anything's on the table at this point. Now, you can also just go back to Josh Lindblom in the starting rotation next year. But if it's not getting done now and you have an alternative and his name is Brent Suter, I don't know. I wonder if that might be a little bit of a backup plan. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow for Austin, Texas. My name is Tim Allen. Again, the final tonight, Brewers get the victory 6-5 to take 3-4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And enjoy this one. We'll see you tomorrow. Smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.